We are KPFC 88.1 FM, Lakeport, Clear Lake, and all around the lake. Streaming via kpfc.org. Next up, Word Weavers with Georgina Marie. And now, a word from our underwriters.
KPFZ is grateful for the underwriting support of Angelina's Bakery and Espresso. Angelina's Bakery has a full espresso bar, fresh baked pastries, and a lunch menu with items made from scratch. They also offer ice cream, milkshakes, blended coffees, and Italian sodas. Open weekdays 7 to 3, temporarily closed on weekends.
KPFC thanks Transmission Exchange at 1665 South Main Street, Lakeport, for their support. They have been in business for 39 years. They rebuild and repair transmissions and provide general automotive maintenance. Transmission Exchange is open 8 to 5 Monday through Thursday, Friday from 8 to 4. Their phone number is 263-8152.
The nutritionist said I should eat root vegetables. Said if I could get down 14 turnips a day, I would be grounded, rooted. Said my head would not keep flying away to where the darkness lives. The psychic told me my heart carries too much weight. Said for $20 she'd tell me what to do. I handed her the 20. She said, "Stop worrying, darling. You will find a good man soon." The first psychotherapist said I should spend 3 hours a day sitting in a dark closet with my eyes closed and my ears plugged. I tried it once, but couldn't stop thinking about how gay it was to be sitting in the closet. The yogi told me to stretch everything but the truth, said to focus on the out-breath, said everyone finds happiness if they care more about what they give than what they get. The pharmacist said Klonopin, Lamictal, Lithium, Xanax. The doctor said an antipsychotic might help me forget what the trauma said. The trauma said don't write these poems. Nobody wants to hear you cry about the grief inside your bones. But my bones said... Tyler Clemente dove into the Hudson River, convinced he was entirely alone. A bone said, "Write the poems."
Hello, listeners. Welcome to Word Weavers for Saturday, May 1st, rooted in poetry. Thank you to Alan Fletcher, producer, for today's show. My name is Georgina Marie. I am your host and the current Poet Laureate of Lake County. You've just listened to the intro for this show, a poem by Andrea Gibson called The Madness Face. We won't be taking calls for today's show. We are still out of the studio due to COVID, but we do have an exciting lineup of poets today. So we have five wonderful Lake County poets. Actually, I should say four Lake County poets and one out of county poet to showcase tonight. So I'm really excited for everyone listening to hear their work. You'll be hearing from Cindy Chatham, Diane Aquiana-Tulli, Lance Giroux, Pamela Bordiso, and Vicky Harvey. And most of you have been frequenting, or some of you have been frequenting, the Lake County Virtual Writer Circle biweekly. For anyone listening who wants to be a part of that, we do it biweekly on Wednesday nights, 6:30 to 8:30. You can visit lakearts.org for more information for that. Always free with donations requested or encouraged, I should say. So thanks for tuning in tonight. We'll just jump right into our show. So I'd like to introduce our first reader, and it's Cindy Chatham.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for being on our show.
Oh, thank you. I have a bunch of poems, but I have timed it, so it should work out.
Awesome.
It's called Song for Paul. You come here this Easter Sunday, resurrected for me, sitting a chilly presence at the stone edge of the bay. I envision how you rode in on the wave of flower child. Hate is love. Turn on, tune in, drop out, summer days of 1967. Flying the vast Atlantic westward, riding the Greyhound my way in your generic brown fringed leather boots with your ardent appetite for new cities, finally coming to me coming to Oak Street, San Francisco, an inevitable crossing of our two paths. I know we've danced before. I know we'll dance again. I don't know where or when. Our days were jewels, our own stars, the months timeless yet ending in one breath, one sigh, memory of you engraved in my heart. Why did you go without me, returning to England, treading old world earth? Your proud youth ablaze with ambition in search of adventures and new love. What were you seeking in foreign ports? And what did you find in Africa that bound you to the Southern Cross? Now, deep rooted in your Taurus responsibilities, with thoughts of us never completed, how do your stars dance now, waiting for release into cosmic skies, exploding from dream to deed? A boat races the bay, leaves a trail of quick, foaming fervor, sculpted momentarily in the fluidity of water. And where, Paul, have you left the prints of your passion in the earth's clay, in the African sky above? And does your heart ever burn a moment for me? I know we've danced before. I know we'll dance again, but I don't know where or when. Okay, excuse me. All right. This is called Where Is My Baby Brother? And I have this poem and a short one after it that are written for my brother who passed in February. Where is my baby brother? Where is the baby boy that I carried so carefully as an 11-year-old sister, that I fed his bottle, cuddled in his soft blanket, who grinned at me and flapped from his little crib? Where is my baby brother? Where is the baby boy who held the lambs at the barn with gentle baby arms, who sat on my pony's back to be led around the yard, who ran mischievously from the house to go potty tree? Where is my baby brother? Where is the baby boy whose blankie became a shred of treasured blue cloth that I rescued from the barn straw at a desperate bedtime? The boy who bent down his chubby cheek to the fur of the black and white cat. Where is my baby brother? Where is the little boy who rode on the shoulders of his big brother, Michael, caught in the black and white photo, who rode the big red tractor on his father's lap, holding on with big boy arms, mowing the summer fields? Where is my baby brother? Where is the little boy who remarked, there's a giant teardrop over the world, the day that our president was shot? A boy who loved turtles and frogs and wild country creatures. A boy who grew to love drums like his father. Where is my baby brother? Where did the little boy go? Grown into a man I cannot reach, who doesn't see or hear me, a man I do not know. Okay. Remembering Tommy. And this is going to be read when his ashes finally get scattered in Kentucky by my cousin. I miss you, and this I believe. Though I cannot see you, I know you'll visit here in these fields of corn stalks, where shining black crows gather and scavenge, where a red-tailed hawk circles above in bright sky. I know you'll rest under the shade trees and stop to hold a grasshopper, a lizard, a turtle. I know you'll watch for foxes, be still for deer, and listen for the cries of coyotes at dusk. That you'll come to the woods of ash, oak, poplar, where the owl cries and raccoons, skunks, and possums cross your path and sense your presence. When you come, you are young, agile, and happy, carrying a pole for fishing over your shoulder. You will spot wildflowers, purple thistle, milkweed, field mice that you delighted in chasing. Your head will be filled with dreams, and you will never be lonely or old. I miss you, and this I believe. Okay. reflections on a photograph. You look so hot with your long, lean legs and your tight blue jeans, camel filters in one hand, leather jacket in the other. You stand there in your lanky pose with shades over your blue speed-zoned eyes, smile flashing beneath your strawberry beard, trimmed down nice and neat, black jacket hanging between two fingers, always missing the ground by an inch. You look so cool, you crackle. The Tahoe snow behind you melts and dulls by comparison. Your cowboy boots don't even leave tracks. Middle-aged poem. I wait and wait, holding my horses, loitering, lingering, pining with perpetual longing, with bittersweet aching. It started as a small seed, grew 5 years or so, became a hopeful budding branch. At 10 years, it began to dry, spark, and slowly burn to ash. My sap ran down and down, crying until my roots bled deep and deeper into my history. My limbs rattle my dusty leaves as I reach out. My heart sits on this branch of myself, forever waiting to be plucked. But my fruit is old and bruised, my flowers too withered and pale to attract pollinators. My fading perfumes no longer inhaled. Sticky tears seep from pale, stunted, once pink blossoms, drip over pockets of untasted sugar. Yet the dream still remembers the joy, while canyons of my yearning heart echo and reverberate within this bare skeletal tree. I think I will die with love on the tip of my longing.
Beautiful. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you.
So I should say for our KPFC listeners that we haven't been able to be in studio for the last year because of COVID. And so this session is being pre-recorded since we cannot be in the studio and we can't be together, but we are on Zoom. So lucky us, we get to see each other as we read these poems.
I'm so touched by those, Cindy. I'm so touched.
And I did my job. Thank you. Thank you.
Beautiful work. This might actually be exciting for the audience too, to be able to hear multiple people and applause and praise. And, you know, our radio shows have been different during COVID when we're not in the studio together. So thank you, Cindy. I should also say that this will be airing on Saturday, May 1st, but today we're recording, it's still April and it's National Poetry Month. So I'm especially grateful for all of you for sharing your work with Lake County. And I'll introduce our next reader, Diane Aquiana Tully. Welcome, Diane.
This poem was written for Earth Day many years ago, which was celebrated yesterday, but truly should be celebrated every day. You see how wide God's arms are here at the Grand Canyon, a glimpse of his universe, his forever, reaching back into his memories of earliest times. You see how narrow our reaches here, our eye on the minute details that are our forever, a few generations behind, forward one if we're so blessed. No memory of stewardship, of being guardians. You see how stretched we must extend our reach in a place like this, like home, like Earth, to protect our planet from destruction by us, the least of God's creations, and how greed, avarice, and righteousness must fall to sharing, cooperation, restoring inclusiveness, the and instead of the but, the remembrance here that nothing stands in the way of water, wind, time, and God. It was recently my birthday and a memorable one. I'm telling people I'm 007 and bad with numbers, or age 352, and there's math in there somewhere.
Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I'm Aries that waited 2 extra weeks to be born. I should have been Pisces, but I clung to my mother's ocean. And I like to write poems right around my birthday, reflecting on things. And this is one from a while ago. Time is a wave pounding the sand. As a child, I sought its fury, wanting to be older now, pounding the sand. As a child, I sought its fury, big wave of time to carry me faster and faster. Time is a swift creek, as a teen, taken along its ever-changing scene. No time to look around, to catch a limb, to hold me in place, to appreciate the moment. Time is a deep lake. Now I stop and float, even as the undercurrents tug my soul towards its destiny. I can float in the bliss of now and just be the water. So I work at Harbin Hot Springs, where I'm known as Aquiana, and that's kind of become my middle name. I'm the fully bionic mermaid of Harbin. And whenever anybody mentions a birthday, I love to share this with them. It wasn't written for birthdays, but I think it rather works. Oh, be ye not of little haste, content to mutter in our haste of facts and things. We be outside to play and fly and fling and show the wonder believing brings and joy and mystery. And my last birthday poem was just written the other day, and it goes like this. Happiest birthday ever yet. Another chance today we get the opportunity to live our best and give the same to those we're blessed to know or meet or love or greet. Each breath to give more than we get to live. Blessings to everyone.
Thanks so much, Diane. That was beautiful work. Happy belated birthday again. My birthday was on April 15th, tax day.
Oh, wow. That'll do it.
Thanks for reading, Diane. There's actually a lot of things going on in April. So National Poetry Month. It's also National Sexual Assault Awareness Month, which is important to note. The Lake Family Resource Center here in Lake County does provide a crisis hotline if anyone is ever in need of that. It's also National Donate Life Month. And in honor of that, the Lake County Bloom and I are sponsoring a poetry contest. So by the time this airs, we would have chosen our winner. So you'll be hearing more from them soon in the future.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPFC. You're listening to Word Weavers. You've just heard from Cindy Chatham and Diane Aquianatulli, and we continue with our poetry.
So we'll move on to our next reader. And that is Lance Giroux.
Thank you. This evening I have 5 poems, 4 are mine, and then 1 is by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who I never considered a poet, but I found his poem in one of my favorite books, and it's always struck me. My first poem is called Something's Here, and this came to me on September 18th of last year, remembering my son's 30th birthday. My youngest son's 30th birthday. It was also the day that Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away. Something's here. I walked Salmina Road this morning, listening to Manzanita and Dwindling Stream. They tell us that nothing's new, the heat, the drought, the stillness. It wasn't as if my neighbor, the one watering grass, hasn't noticed. She's been growing here much longer than we, the younger, newer transplants. A thin trail cuts the hillside where turkey and deer wander through. Across the road lives Doug, who stopped his harvest time to pause it. Something is definitely here, he offered. To that I replied, I know. The doubters snigger, indeed, rolling eyes, thinking us to be hippie throwbacks. But older people, before we came, knew for certain it's palpably here. Geese people, fish people, fur people, hawk, fox, snake, and bear people. The malcontent skeptics ask, what's that? This something you say, what's that? To them we offer, spend time with Robert Frost. He knew the something. So when rains come, sing to the forest as she drinks and blooms. My second poem is called Standing in the Space of Trust. Standing in the Space of Trust. When you say, I love you, what does the why in you say back? I mean, really. What does that mean, I love you? Honestly. Have you ever considered what hearing you say those words might stir in me? I've often said, I love you. But for the longest time, well, maybe 40 or 50 years, I rarely said, I miss you. No, that's not true. I never said, I miss you. Then one day or one decade, the why in me realized that I had made, I miss you, mean I'm weak. Something I was not allowed to be, weak. I understand now it means I love you. It means I'm vulnerable. It means maybe I'm strong enough to stand in the space of trust and the stuff of inquiry, willing to truly live. Would you care to join me? I'm actually asking. Take your time. I'll wait.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
My next poem is Coming Out from Under Winter's Spell. And this poem came to me as I was walking not far from my home on Salmina Road it was the last time of that year that there was snow. Coming out from under winter's spell. This blanket of snow, resting undisturbed as it has these weeks, finally cracks, stirs, and begins its sensuous slow slide. Mother wrestles herself naked against all hope of catching at least one more lovely, luscious pre-dawn dream. Attending to what should have been a glorious morning, Father groans, then lets fall one arm long held that takes its sweet time before sounding on floor the alarm. A striking note that woke me and my neighbor across the way, who've been advised the day has come for us to surrender some. Bagged seeds, rakes, shovels, hoes and spades, uncut lumber and planing blades, nails and brushes and cans of paint shake and quake as if to say, it's time to get up, it's time to play. So the last poem of mine that I'll read is called Tonight, an ode to Jane Hirschfield. And this poem came to me in 2018 as I was sitting in the Roadhouse Cafe, the Roadhouse restaurant in Lac Lomond, which is no longer there. And I had to scribble it down on a napkin before it ran away. Tonight. Tonight, as the cool breath of darkness bids you slow. Tonight, as the lightning bugs, the fireflies flit their jig and bullfrogs croon their droning song. Tonight, as the thief steals her heart and you hear her cry, longing to feel the crime again. Tonight, as whispers lose their grip on overhanging boughs and settle with the mist to find comfort in your soul. Tonight, as the memory of a lover lingers to tease and then forgive what once was lost and can't return. Tonight, step across the aisle that isn't there, across the road that's far too wide, and dance the dance tonight that always was waiting tonight. This poem I found in Jon Kabat-Zinn's book called Coming to Our Senses. It's a favorite book of mine, and it's called Tasting Mindfulness. Tasting Mindfulness. Have you ever had the experience of stopping so completely, of being in your body so completely, of being in your life so completely, that what you knew and what you didn't know, that what had been and what was yet to come, and the way things are right now no longer held even the slightest hint of anxiety or discord? It would be a moment of complete presence, beyond striving, beyond mere acceptance, beyond the desire to escape or fix anything or plunge ahead. A moment of pure being, no longer in time. A moment of pure seeing, pure feeling, a moment in which life simply is. And that isness grabs you by all your senses, all your memories, by your very genes, by your loves, and welcomes you home.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Lance, for reading.
Thank you.
And how about a round of applause for Lance and for Diane Aquiana? Beautiful work. Okay, so our next reader is Pamela Bordiso.
Thank you, Georgina, for hosting us. And thank you, Diana, Lance, and Cindy. Those were beautiful. I really enjoyed them. The first one I'm going to read tonight was motivated after I was in France and I visited these ancient stone buildings. And I thought about what archaeologists would think finding the stuff I had left behind in my room. And this one is titled Ancient People's Mound Heaps. Ancient people's mound heaps, cast off kitchen mittens, domestic waste, long-term dumps, artifacts of ancient occupations, visions into people's past. Archaeologists examine detritus along my bedside. They exclaim, ah, it looks like they were trying to change. Books for raising bees, composting, pollinator-friendly gardens, organic food. Look here, a calendar planner full of dates to plant trees, teach land conservation, work on social justice. A heap full of plant identifiers, bird books, journals, valuable discoveries, stratigraphy of a culture, not hunters or gatherers. Skeletal remains show frontal body tilt, hunched necks, bone spurs at the base of the skull. Mound heaps of ancient peoples, bent postures, the refuse of broken, exhausted tools, litter of laptops, cell phones, iPads, visions of people's past. Perhaps they forgot to go outside.
Wow.
I know. And then the second one I'm going to read, I'm very fortunate to live in a beautiful space here in Kelseyville, and there's rolling hills along me, and all the land has been bought up, and it's going to be, actually, they started grading it today, so there were loud, loud machinery with squeaky wheels on the land. And so, the land. I live on the land of Pomo. Freshwater creek behind my house flows year-round, smooth and bright over rocks. Drought again. Will the creek be able to run this 2021 through all the seasons? The calm hills across the road roll still brown in this absence of rain. Without drops to green, no moisture for far too many days, weeks, months. Giant, venerable oaks speak to me of history. Thick trunked ancestors holding remembrances harbor the hawks and secrets. Full of knowledge of other times, rough bark, broad girth gives witness to land long ago. Arrowheads hidden beneath tufts of thick gray grass, pending the hopeful wildflowers. All to be taken, stripped away, harsh, loud, metal, cold, mechanized grating. Acres and acres of grapes to be planted in uniform homogeneity. Hoop houses, ugly, cheap fences, guarded cannabis, winds asking, do we really need more wine and pot? The curve, the flow of land to be pillaged, the water changed with strange chemicals spoiled, nothing ancestral left to speak of the past. Defenseless to impending loss, breath constricted in grief, keep keening and moaning held, fighting for oxygen without the lungs of the trees. I am not entitled to this land, no plants left to teach me or the ones after us. A barren outlook, an eventuality of emptiness. And hopefully things are changing. You know, we just had, we're back in the Paris summit and we've got some things, and I know we're all doing what we can do. This one is called What If, and I wrote it right after January 6th and the insurrection. And I do think we have the potential to help make change. What if the man, feet on the speaker's desk, scratching his balls, had lived a different childhood? What if the man, horns on his head, saw himself an angel more than a devil? What if someone held them tight, told them they were loved? What if they'd gone to a school with art, music, dance, outdoor joy, creativity? What if the third grade teacher had held open her arms instead of sending him to the office when he kicked the desk? What if the nine-year-old had been helped to write a poem and was told that words evoke beauty and was told, good job? And then I'm going to end on a more positive note. since a little bit of despair in some of those. And this is my geriatric love poem. Even though, and those of you that are in your late 60s or 70s probably know nighttime wakefulness, shaking legs, some of the ailments that we experience as we get a little bit older. Even though the light, bright white on the printed page on my side of the bed is on, even though it's 2 a.m, your sleep moves you toward me, puppy-like, seeking the warm nest of blankets and body heat. Your leg juts, a frog bend, sinews cover bones. I fold myself over this new gauntness. You exhale soft sighs. Habitual snores remain quiet this night. Your toes tap, pulsing a rhythm in your dream. I imagine you're on a stage performing, feet drumming the tempo, your voice soaring, crooning a favorite rock song from the past. Reading on, I want sleep. I hope rest will come for me. At long last, turning off the light, as if it matters, I turn to seek the time. The digital clock sears my retina. What difference do these numerals make? I roll into your body, a branch dropped into a stream, a configuration of limbs never experienced before, even though we have bedded together these 42 years. Thank you.
Wow, wow. I'm speechless. That's such a such a beautiful reading, Pamela.
Really, really nice.
Beautiful.
It was awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
I have to thank both Diane and Pamela for paying tribute to Earth Day in your poetry. Earth Day should be every day. So thank you for those poems.
And Lance.
Yes. And hopefully we'll be getting a little bit of rain this Sunday. Let's hope. And Pamela, one of your poems also reminded me to give a land acknowledgement. So here in Lake County, we are reading from the land of the Eastern and Northern Pomo peoples. Thank you for that reminder. Oh, so much beautiful poetry. And I always say it, but Lake County is full of rich poets, literary history here. And it's just incredible to be part of it.
Once again, you're listening to KPFC 88.1 Word Weavers.
So our next reader is not from Lake County. I'm so excited she's here because she's been frequenting the virtual Lake County circles basically since we started doing them virtually, which was in September of 2020. I've just grown to love her and her work. So Vicki Harvey, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you, Georgina. Thank you. I'm very honored to be invited to be here. My first poem that I'm going to read, I wrote in January when we actually had some rain, and it's called Nature's Prayer. So I guess it goes along with Earth Day too. It rained all day. I could see the liquid falling, born from the heavens, to not haunt but help the drought-stricken land. The fish are dancing as their lake is filling, and the trees outside. The tree outside is smiling. The water dancers have created a fever of frenzy. Feels like forever since rain has blessed this ground. Grass looks greener today, everything moist and delicious. I can see a high five coming from the flower's petal. The sadness from the mountains is slowly beginning to lift. Soon the sun will shine. There is peace among the land. When I step outside, there is a perfume of nature thriving. I can breathe the fresh air. My coffee even tastes better. I find gratitude within. I do not have to fly away to a faraway place. I can look out my window to find peace among the birds. I look up at the clouds and see a reflection of myself. distorted thoughts of a past life as I pick up a ladybug and place it upon a leaf. My second one is in honor of Poetry Month, and it's in honor of my favorite author. And it's called Dearest Mary. You were with me in October 2006. Your words gave me comfort when my whole being was drowning in a turbulent sea. I met you in a small Santa Barbara bookstore, and it was serendipity. You were hurting too. I read the poems from your book, Thirst, finding comfort, knowing that I was not alone in my pain, and found a friend there. You have been a supporter of my poetry through each one of your books. I first heard your poetry read by your friend, David White. And as he read your work aloud, repeating lines, I fell in love. I'm not sure who I loved more. Sadness engulfed me when you left this world. I saved your photos of you with your dogs that you loved so very much, radiating such love from the page. You taught me to adore frogs, bears, birds, all of the living things in nature. I was amazed how you walked early in the morning with only a pen and notebook. That is when the beauty of your poetry emerged through your eyes, up through your mind, and onto paper. I often wondered what the Massachusetts woods looked like where you wandered early in the morning. I imagine it to be the most peaceful place on earth. It was a merry kind of place. It is Poetry Month, April 2021, and everyone is celebrating you, dearest Mary. And my last piece that I want to read is a short piece from the book by Mary Oliver Thirst, which if you don't have the book, please get it. It's my favorite book of all my collection. And the piece I'm going to read is called A Pretty Song. From the complications of loving you, I think there is no end or return, no answer, no coming out of it, which is the only way to love, isn't it? This isn't a playground. This is earth, our heaven, for a while. Therefore, I have given precedence to all my sudden, sullen, dark moods that hold you in the center of my world. And I say to my body, grow thinner still. And I say to my fingers, type me a pretty song. And I say to my heart, rave on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Vicki. That was a wonderful reading.
That was awesome.
I don't think we can have National Poetry Month without mentioning Mary Oliver. So thank you for that tribute. She is an incredible poet. And I'm feeling unexpectedly emotional listening to everyone's poetry tonight, because it's beautiful work, but also the pandemic's been so tough. We're not able to read together in person. And it does have some blessings, like Vicki is from Santa Clara. So we probably wouldn't have met if we didn't meet virtually. So that's a great thing. And I've been reflecting a lot about being Poet Laureate of Lake County recently. And I think that's why I'm feeling a little emotional too. And throughout the virtual writing circles we've been doing, I've been hearing some of these poems, and we hear them in the circle and we're giving feedback and editing. And so to hear them being read tonight, it's just a really beautiful thing. Thank you all for sharing. So I want to get in on the fun and read a poem. And I wanted to read a new poem that I wrote. National Poetry Month, often poets will write a poem a day for 30 days. There was no way I could do that this year. So I was feeling blocked. And then I took a workshop with Ada Limón, an incredible poet, my favorite poet. And I had a breakthrough and just started writing poems and having feedback from her inspired me on a whole new level. So this is a new poem called What a Bluebird Means. In the 1990s, it was called A Bluebird of Happiness. This small chunk of indigo glass molded into the shape of a bird that somehow brought happiness into the ether simply by being created, probably purchased from a pristine glass shelf in a Hallmark somewhere. I've kept her all these years. This morning, she sits on my living room windowsill next to a mason jar of dried lavender and mustard-colored stink net, facing outward toward the waking world. I have to wonder if there's some hidden reason I faced her toward the window, with a view of the northern flickers and ring-necked doves that visit my yard each day, cooing as the day warms to a crisp, healing temperature, pecking into the ground for earthworms and gifts invisible to the human eye. I watch her as tears well in my tired eyes. I've kept her all these years. When she was placed in my hands by my mother, in a time I never watched the real birds, my little world obscured by violence, there was no time, no place to watch the real winged beings with pleasure. And here we've made it, all alive, all looking forward into the coming day. Thank you for listening.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that.
Of course. And thank you all for sharing your beautiful work and for being guests on KPFC's Rooted in Poetry show. Feel free to unmute and we can share a few words for each other. I just want to share my gratitude for all of you for continuing with your poetry, for sharing, for writing. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you for the forum to share with others. It makes a huge difference to have that opportunity.
Of course, you're so welcome. And I'm sure everyone listening, or a lot of people listening, know Diane Aquiana Tully for often her sign language that she performs with her poetry. So sadly, you can't see it on the radio, but you at least got to hear some of her work today.
Thank you.
And I have to say, Vicky, Thirst, I haven't read Thirst by Mary Oliver yet, but my mother bought me that book for Christmas, just this past Christmas. So I'm really looking forward to reading it.
It's a wonderful book. It's wonderful. I'm not prejudiced, am I? Everybody's poetry was just so touching. It just made my evening. So thank you, everyone.
I agree. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Fun to hear us on the radio too.
Yeah,
you know how we sound. How we sound. That'll be fun.
Yeah, and as listeners here, you can obviously see there's a lot of support for each other in the poetry community here. So poets are always welcome to share on the air. Word Weavers is a show that's offered every Saturday of every month. I just happen to host once every 3 months. But yes, always reach out. And for listeners, you can follow everything I'm doing with Lake County at GeorginaMariePoet.com. There's always lots of events happening. All are always welcome, regardless of background, experience, types of writing. Everyone is always welcome. So since we actually have some extra time, I'd like to read a couple more of my own poems to just be a part of this. So I recently facilitated a workshop with the Middletown Art Center. It was an ekphrastic workshop, which is basically work inspired by art or an interpretation of an art piece. The Middletown Art Center currently has an exhibit called Apart and Connected. On exhibit, I encourage everyone to go see it in person if you can, with a mask, of course, or you can also go to middletownartcenter.org to see the exhibit virtually. It's a beautiful exhibit. So during the ekphrastic workshop, I wrote a few poems. The first one I'll read is actually not based on one of the art pieces there, but rather the cover of Mary Oliver's book, Blue Horses, which is of a painting by another artist. This poem is called Sea. Blue horses stare off into the distance, sidestepping, huddled together, as if afraid to stand apart, as if afraid that what is lurking in the far fields will separate them. Animals see everything.
They do not forget raised hands. They do not let go of screaming voices in the back of their minds, in the dark memory of their souls. These starry horses are telling me more than I am seeing of them. Isn't this how life works? Isn't this how trauma makes you see the world in a fishbowl view, the horses staring back at you, knowing precisely all of the secrets staring back at you as you stare off into the distance of memory? And this next poem is a poem that was inspired by a painting titled Alzheimer's by Alana Clearlake. And my grandmother passed away from COVID last year, and it's been difficult to write about it. And this painting really allowed me to do just that. This golden woman stands on air in a room painted with turquoise and cyan as the birds fly out of her head, as all she knows surrounds her in a spiral of not letting go, but forcefully being removed. Her short dark hair reminds me of my grandmother in her final days, how she didn't know her name, how she didn't know my name. I imagine her hospital room an extreme opposite of this painting, bland, bare, a visual representation of her own mind slipping away. The lights on and someone home, but does she know she is home? Does she remember when she accidentally burned my arm with a cigarette? How she taught her pet parrots and lovebirds to speak only when no one was around? How she had her home blessed more times than I likely saw her in my lifetime, out of fear the spirits were invading her. Maybe like they are now, taking crumb by crumb of her amygdala. I remember how fresh tomatoes in her garden smelled, how perfect she steamed masa for jalapeno and cheese tamales, rajas con queso. No one ever made them so perfect. In her final days, she didn't remember anyone. She remembered to dance until COVID took her movement from her, until she went to a place the woman in this painting remains, in the colorful ether, where all memories return on a blazingly bright canvas. So I want to talk a little bit about all of the poetry offerings that we have here in Lake County. So for those listening, my name is Georgina Marie. If you are just tuning in to KPFC's Rooted in Poetry Word Weavers episode today, and I am the current Poet Laureate of Lake County for 2020 to 2022. The Poet Laureate history here spans 11 different Poet Laureates, and I'm the most current. My term was appointed right as COVID hit Lake County, so it definitely put a twist on my Poet Laureate term. I didn't expect to have to do everything virtually, so it's been very different. But I do have to say it's been a blessing in disguise as well. There are some people who just can't get to events, maybe because of a disability or any other reason. So doing things virtually or over the radio has really had a benefit to folks who can't necessarily get to events or don't have access to or transportation. So I'm really glad that we can provide so many events to Lake County. I've also been able to connect with so many poets and poet laureates from other counties, other states even, just by networking on social media. I've been working hard to bring lots of events to the community, and to hear poets like the ones you've heard today just continues to inspire me to bring poetry to the community to make it accessible to everyone. I really like to encourage or just promote the fact that poetry is for everyone. You can write so many different types of poems. You can be young, you can be older. Poetry doesn't discriminate. So I just encourage everyone listening, if you are a poet, if you want to be a poet, if you were a poet and you want to get back to being a poet, whatever variation of that, just keep writing. And if you're ever open to sharing, get in contact with me. You can email me at georgina.marie@hotmail.com. I'd love to hear your work and read it. There's opportunities to publish work, or you can be on the radio or my podcast. So I do just want to mention some other offerings briefly before we end this show, and thank you all for listening so much. April was National Poetry Month, and so you're hearing this episode on May 1st. It's officially over for this year. National Poetry Month. So heading into May, we do the Lake County Virtual Writer Circle bi-weekly, which is hosted by myself, sponsored by the Lake County Arts Council. The Writer Circle in May will be on Wednesday, May 12th, and Wednesday, May 26th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. You can go onto Facebook or email me to see the login information or go to lakearts.org. So the poetry, the virtual writer circle will be every 2 weeks. You can basically attend to share work, get feedback, do some free writing. On May 15th at the Middletown Art Center, there will be an event called Conversations with Artists. The artists for the current Apart and Connected exhibit will be speaking on their work, and some poets will be reading work inspired by that artwork. So we encourage you to come in person if you're masked at 6 p.m., or you can also tune in virtually. So visit middletownartcenter.org for more information on that. Recently, you might know that I was the judge for the Marin Poetry Center's High School Poetry Contest. There are actually three Lake County High School students that won a place in the anthology of the Marin Poetry Center. They will be hosting a public gala in May, on May 25th. More details to come. So you can visit my website to stay up to date, GeorginaMariePoet.com. You may have seen the poetry boxes on display in Kelseyville, on Main Street. More of those will be installed in Clear Lake, starting hopefully in June, and you'll see more coming up. And you can also feel free to join the Lake County Poet Laureate Facebook group if you'd like to stay up to date on poetry events, post poetry, get inspiration, so many different things. So as you can tell, lots of poetry happening in Lake County.
So thank you again for listening.
Yay.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you to all of our listeners for tuning in today to Word Weavers on KPFC 88.1. Thank you again to our special guests, to KPFC. I'll be back in 3 months for the next edition of Rooted in Poetry. Enjoy our closing song, Phobia No. 9, by singer, songwriter, musician, and poet Kamaya Diggs.
The rain started falling around 4:30, so I slipped inside a used bookstore to stay dry. On the shelf beside Kipling and Keats, I found an old chapbook of yours. It was leather bound. I asked the guy, how long has this been here? Forever, he said. It keeps coming back to us unread. It's a sin. So I paid him the $2.99 that it cost and sat down on a cushion near Robert Frost and dug in. There's a high noon and a low road, a slow smile and a deep wish. Drop a secret or a stone or a thought in the night and I might know this. There's a slow burn and a thick wall, new boat and a rising tide. Don't forget that when I knew you and thought you had gone, I was on your side. As the day grew long, I read poem after poem. Your words worked through me and brought me home. I remember when you finally faithfully wrote one for me after 4 years together in 2013. December, I was wrapping a gift for your youngest niece, a diary with a lock, when I felt a piece of the wheel. Then you came in the room like a bird on the wing, and the way you were looking said everything I couldn't feel. There's a sweet wind and a high cool, a hot dark and soft night, sinking down in a heart and a boat in one shot, but you're not all right. There's a bright room and a tight walk, a quick snow and a slow light. Sink your head into my pillow and stay in one spot, cause you're hot all night. What are you so afraid of?